Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ here in Omaha, Nebraska, and this is our Sunday morning sermon. Because of the coronavirus contagion, the epidemic that is sweeping across our nation, the elders here tried live streaming for a couple of weeks. It has become apparent that that has become more difficult to gather even a few people together to take care of everything and try to present a regular worship service for our live stream video viewers. And that live stream was posted on our Facebook page. It was connected to through our website at churchofchrist.com. Because we don't want to expose people to the virus, we don't want to take the chance of people coming together and getting sick. And I know that a lot of people have that concern, and so they want to be careful about not gathering in groups of more than just a few. We have come to the point where we're going to have to suspend the live viewing, the live streaming video worship service, and we're just going to post the Sunday morning Bible class at 9:30 on our podcast. It will also be posted on our website at 9:30 each Sunday morning, which is our regular time for Sunday morning Bible class. And then that will be followed at 10:30 by a sermon through which you can worship with your family at home. 10:30 each Sunday morning, which is our regular time for Sunday morning worship. And then on Wednesday evenings, we will post a Wednesday evening Bible class, again on podcast and on our website, each Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Now, we have communion supplies available. Many within the congregation have picked those up ahead of time. As you are worshiping in spirit together through the podcast sermon, again, on podcast and on our website, at the end of that sermon, you can partake of the Lord's Supper with your family and worship God and remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in that way. This is an attempt for us to try to do the best that we can do for the time being. If you wish to send in your contribution, you can send that by mail or drop it off when somebody is here at the building. We're trying to do the best we can to continue to do God's work and to present the opportunities for our congregation to study His Word regularly at the normal times and also to worship together in spirit, again through the podcast and also posted on our website. This morning, I want to encourage you to pray about this whole situation. Now, I know you have been praying. That goes without saying. But the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, as James says, avails much or has great power in its effects, another translation says. We find that in James chapter 5, and we read that in verse 16. So, your prayer can make a difference in this whole situation with this epidemic that's sweeping across our land. It's not because you are powerful in and of yourself, but it is because you're praying to God who is all-powerful and for whom nothing is impossible. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. So pray that this strange kind of trying to do the best we can to still be together in study and in worship, that we can get past that and come back together as a full congregation, meeting together at the church building on a regular basis. What a wonderful day that will be when we can get to do that again. I suspect there will be tears shed, a lot of hugging, and a lot of handshakes, patting on the back, a lot of smiles as we reunite as the body of Christ here at Sunny Slope Church of Christ. I want to talk about prayer this morning. One of the greatest blessings that God extends to a Christian is the blessing of prayer, the privilege and the right to talk directly to God about anything affecting your life or anything that is on your mind. We can approach God through prayer. We can come right to His throne and tap into that power through prayer with boldness. The Hebrews writer talks about this in Hebrews chapter 4, and we read verses 14 through 16. And notice how he puts it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus went through all the kinds of experiences and temptations that we go through ourselves today as human beings, because he lived here. While still fully divine, he lived here in human form almost 2,000 years ago. So he knows what we go through. He can relate to us, and because we know that, then we can relate to him as a personal Savior. Verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We need help right now in this world. We need help in this country right now and in our community. We need help as the Lord's church. We need God's blessings and his strength, his power to see us through this. And he will do that. I have every confidence of that. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 21, again, we can pray with boldness. We can pray with confidence that God is there and that he's listening and that he cares. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So as we walk with God in faithful, consistent obedience, then he listens to our prayers. And John tells us by inspiration there that we can pray to him for whatever the needs might be with confidence. In the 5th chapter of 1 John, beginning with verse 14, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Again, John emphasizing the confidence with which we can pray to our Heavenly Father, because he is our Heavenly Father, and he cares about us, he loves us, and he wants to be able to help us. He wants to help us. We can be bold in our confidence that the Lord is our helper. In the 13th chapter of the Hebrews letter, beginning with verse 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Oh, that fear is taking over a lot of people right now. That fear has led a lot of people to tremendous anxiety and even panic. We need to be careful to not let fear overcome us. It becomes irrational, and then that irrational fear leads into panic. And if that is uncontrolled, then people can do all kinds of things that they would never do under normal circumstances when they had control of their thinking and their emotions. Jeremiah the prophet wrote God's words along this line in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. God said, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Now that's been referred to as God's telephone number, Jeremiah 3:3:3. "Call to me, and I will answer, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." We need to take God at his word. We need to call upon him. We need to call upon him through prayer continually. Now, you know, I have a gut feeling that many Christians neither fully understand the magnitude of the blessing that is prayer, nor do they utilize it very persistently or anything like to its potential. And that's unfortunate. I hope that is not true about you. And if it has been true about you, I hope that you're changing your focus on prayer and that you're praying regularly and consistently and diligently. The Apostle Paul said, referring to God and his power to bless us, he said, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, whatever it is that is on our mind, God can do beyond that, beyond our imagination even. God is all-powerful. Nothing is beyond his power, his ability to perform. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. Nothing is impossible for God. Now, again, I suspect that many Christians kind of just go through the motions of prayer. But don't let that be the case with you. And if that has been the case in your past, where maybe you just kind of say your prayers like we teach our children to when they're little and before they go to bed at night, or maybe we teach them to pray before they eat with the family at dinner every day, and they just kind of recite them without even thinking about them, I hope that's not the case with you. And if it is, I hope you're changing, that you're refocusing on prayer, and you're thinking carefully about what you need to be praying about. There are some exciting scripture texts that teach us that we can depend on prayer and that we should be shameless and persistent in our prayers. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Our Lord is with his disciples at this particular time, and he tried to teach the apostles, and we need to learn the same lesson today ourselves. He tried to teach the apostles the importance of persistence and perseverance in prayer. And when we look at that particular text, look at the first verse. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now you keep praying for God's deliverance from this epidemic, that God will defeat this virus that's going around the world, that he will guide through whatever means he deems appropriate the discovery, the development of a vaccine, or even medication that can effectively treat those who have this virus or protect them from ever getting it. You pray about that. Do not lose heart. That's what Jesus says, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now look at the next verse, verse 2. There was, and this is a parable, trying to teach this principle to us, that we ought always to pray and not lose heart, to not give up in our prayers. There was a certain city, or there was in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now let's understand, this was a judge. He was in a position. When it says he did not fear God, we might conclude from that he did not even believe in God. But neither did he regard man. The idea there is that he was rather arrogant. In fact, we could probably drop the word rather and just say he was outright arrogant. He did not respect mankind. He did not respect the people that would come before him for judgments. So the judge did not fear God. He did not respect man. And so probably he did not even believe in God. And he certainly was arrogant in his disrespect for the people who had come before him for judgments. Now, our advantage is that we know that God exists. We believe in him wholeheartedly, and we know that he cares about us. That judge apparently did not care much about the people over whom he had judgment, that authority. But God loves us. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, familiar verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now verse 3 in Luke chapter 18 goes on, so there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, that is to that judge, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. So here is this widow, and she petitions the judge for justice in some matter. that she's bringing before him. Now, remember, this judge apparently did not even believe in God, and he did not respect the people who came before him, so he had virtually no respect for this widow. We can conclude that, I think, fairly. The widow petitions him nonetheless. But God is the ultimate judge. God is the ultimate judge, and his judgments are always true and righteous. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 19 in verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Not just some of them, but all of his judgments are true and righteous and always consistently so. In Isaiah 30 in verse 18, "For the Lord is a God of justice." Well, that judge back there needed to learn that lesson, and he needed to emulate that in his judgments upon the people who would come before him. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, we read that God again is just in his judgments. Notice what John the Apostle wrote. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In fact, God wants to do exactly that. He wants us to come to him in repentance so he can forgive us. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him in repentance. So we need to recognize that God loves us up front. He loves us enough to have sent his Son into this world to die on that cross as the perfect sacrifice to pay the price for the guilt of our sins. Now we come back to Luke chapter 18, and we look now at verse 4. "He would," after the widow came to him for judgment, she wanted justice. Whatever the case might be, we're not told the particulars of it, but she brings it before the judge, this unjust judge. And so his response in verse 4, "He would not for a while." Well, he would not what? She asks him, "Get justice for me from my adversary." Well, he would not for a while. So he was not going to give her the judgment, the justice that she sought. But now, that was not the end of the story, so to speak. So, due to her, that is this widow's, unyielding persistence and perseverance in coming before that judge over and over and over again, he finally granted her request. He gave her the judgment that she was seeking from him. Going back to verse 4 again, "He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man,'" do you get the arrogance there, his arrogant attitude? "Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." How do we understand what the judge finally determined and what he said there, at least to himself? "I'm not going to give her what she wants." But she didn't give up at that point. She kept coming back to him over and over and over again. We're not told how many times, but the judge finally gave up and gave her the judgment that she was seeking because he said she was wearying him. The King James Version, the New King James Version, says, "Lest she weary me." The American Standard Version, I think we can really get down to brass tacks, so to speak, here, and really puts it down in contemporary terms for us. The American Standard Version translates that, "lest she wear me out." Well, I think she was wearing that judge out. Now, when you look into the Greek, the literal translation is, "lest she give me a black eye." She was working on that judge, and she would not give up. She was persistent. And that's the lesson for us. When we look at verses 6, 7, and 8, the Lord said, so Jesus says, basically we understand, he said, here's the lesson for you. "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night?" though he bears long with them. Now, sometimes God says, no, that's not what you need. No, I'm not ready to give you that you're asking for. Well, of course, God is all-knowing. He is all-wise. Remember when the Apostle Paul prayed 3 times for a thorn in the flesh to be removed from him, apparently some physical impediment of some kind. And the Lord said, no, I can use you just as you are. And Paul understood, and he let the Lord use him just in that particular situation or in whatever condition it was that he was praying for deliverance from. Well, God can use us in this particular situation, in this epidemic. We can still be shining lights. We can still be seasoning salt. We can reach out to people in different ways without having to be there face to face, and we can be sharing the gospel with them, or we can be encouraging them. We can be praying for them. What about that person you haven't talked to for quite a while now? And you've been thinking about, well, I'd like to get with them. Why don't you give them a call? If there's somebody in the congregation or somebody you know who is sick in some way or struggling in some way, maybe they're just lonely and they're shut in, why not give them a call and pray with them while you're on the phone with them? Maybe you can go to the grocery store, get some food or some supplies that somebody needs and drop it off at their front door for them. You see, we still have opportunities to serve the Lord and to serve others. So Jesus says, shall God not avenge his own elect? In other words, his faithful followers who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. Sometimes God knows the right, well, God always knows the right time. And sometimes he does not provide the blessing at that particular moment because he knows a little farther down the road is the better time. I tell you, Jesus goes on, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Oh, that last question of Jesus, when the Son of Man comes, when the Lord comes again, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find us having faith in God to be able to answer our prayers in a positive way? Persistence is the lesson for us. We should be persistent in our prayers to God, knowing that he is just, knowing that he loves us and cares about us and wants to bless us. Now, this is not the only lesson we find in Luke's gospel account. We turn back to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And here, the apostles are asking him, teach us to pray. In verse 1, it came to pass, as he, that is Christ, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. What a great request. Teach us to pray. We need to be thinking about how we need to pray to God, and also how to pray to God. So he said to them, when you pray, say, and he gives them what has come to be called the model prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now some people simply say that prayer over and over and over and over and over again from rote memory without probably really thinking that much about what they're saying. But really, when you look at that particular prayer, you need to pick out the elements in it that apply to prayer in general, and then put your prayer into your own words. God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from your heart. Now, Jesus goes on then, after he has given them a model prayer, and he says, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Well, think about that. I remember when I was just a little boy, I grew up for several years in an apartment building in Chicago, Illinois. And it was a three-story apartment building, an old apartment building at that time, which was very common to the city. And we lived in the third floor, and the family who lived in the second floor became very close friends of ours, at least most of the family. And I can remember just vividly how my mother would go down to the lady in the second floor, and she would ask her, you know, have you got a cup of sugar I can borrow? Or have you got some milk that I can borrow? Or maybe some butter that I can borrow? And that lady did the same thing with my mom. She would come up to the third floor, knock on the back door, and have you got some sugar I could borrow? Or a cup of, or some milk, or some butter, or whatever it might be. Maybe a few loaves, a few pieces of bread, whatever the need was. And they would share back and forth. And they'd pay each other back. But there was something of a closeness there. Now, they'd knock on the door, and they'd ask. Well, here, the image is, this man comes to his friend, notice again, but it's midnight. I don't remember ever having that lady downstairs come up to our back door at midnight and say, could I borrow a cup of sugar? And my mom did not do that either. But here is this friend who comes to this man's house, and they're friends, and he says, it's at midnight, and he says, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend, another friend, has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. So apparently another friend of his was traveling, stopped by, maybe to stay with him overnight, but he said, I don't have any food to give him. So can you lend me something here? Now here's the response from that man in that house. And he will answer him from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Well, it was midnight, the middle of the night, when the man downstairs was knocking on his friend's door, asking him to loan him something to feed his other friend who is traveling and stopped to be with him, probably for that night. He probably woke that man up. It was midnight again. His children were in bed, probably asleep. He was probably in bed asleep. And so here's this guy knocking on the door downstairs, probably wakes him up. Hey, can you loan me something here? And he says, no, the door is shut. My children are in bed. And probably the sense was, come back tomorrow when we're up. Well, but what is the response of the friend downstairs? I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, you've got to read in between the lines there some. See, verse 7 ends with the friend upstairs in his house saying, no, I'm not going to come down and open the door. I'm not going to give you what you want. It's the middle of the night. Are you crazy? Now, it doesn't say, are you crazy? But you're kind of, again, reading in between the lines there. If the man had come back the next morning, he probably would have helped him however he could. But now Jesus goes on and gives us the understanding that the man does not go away downstairs. He keeps knocking on the door. He keeps asking for help. He keeps asking his friend inside to lend him something. And because of his persistence, his friend finally gets out of bed and he comes down and opens the door and gives him as much as he needs. As much as he needs. Now, what's the point here? Well, the disciples were asking Jesus, teach us to pray. And after he gave them that model prayer, he used these illustrations. This is the first one. In the presence of a true need, a request for help needs to be issued. We need to pray to God for whatever that need is. God wants to hear from us. The initial response in this particular illustration, the man in the house, it's the middle of the night, he's probably asleep, his children are in bed asleep, undoubtedly, and it's negative, a negative response. He says, no. But how does the man downstairs respond to that? He doesn't go away. He keeps knocking on the door. Sometimes it is necessary to pray often for the same blessing. See, that shows faith on our part and determination on our part. And notice again what Jesus said in verse 8, because of his persistence. Now the word actually goes beyond, when you look at it in the Greek, it actually goes beyond mere persistence, as we would think of it. And it conveys the idea of shamelessness or shameless persistence. Most people probably would have been embarrassed after the man yelled down, "No, go away. It's the middle of the night. I'm not coming down to give you what you're asking for." They probably would have left embarrassed. But this man just kept knocking on the door. Shameless persistence. The lesson is that we should be shamelessly persistent in our prayers. We should not give up on God's willingness and ability to bless us according to our prayers. And then Jesus uses several quick illustrations to show God's love for us. Beginning with verse 9, he says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." You need to keep praying. You need to keep bringing your petition before God. And then verse 11, he goes on and says, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone?" Well, of course not. A loving father would not be that kind of uncaring to his son or daughter. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Well, of course not. He would not want to do harm to his child asking him for something to eat. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? No, no loving father would do that. He loves his children. Ah, who is our father in this particular account? God. And so verse 13, Jesus says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" If we know how to be gracious to our own children who are asking us for needs, boy, God is even more gracious. We learn about graciousness from him. He is the God of grace and mercy and love. And so the lesson is that we need to be shamelessly persistent in our prayers. We should not give up on God's willingness and his ability and his lovingness to bless us according to our prayers. Every good gift is from God. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, James 1 and verse 17. And God knows how to take care of all of our needs, the most basic ones to the most complex ones. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 and 33, Jesus has just been talking about the necessities of life. And in verse 32, he says, "For after all these things the Gentiles seek," or the unbelievers, "for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Put God first. Put walking with him first, even in this life. In fact, most importantly in this life, so that you can live with him forever in heaven. God knows and he cares about our needs, your needs, and he wants to take care of us. We should demonstrate our faith in God and our recognition of dependence upon God through our shameless persistence in our prayers, never stopping praying to God, bringing our needs before him. Now, God knows that we seek deliverance from this coronavirus epidemic. He knows that. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows that we need deliverance and that we seek deliverance. We cannot fix this, but God can take care of it. And He can take care of us through this time. So what can you do about it? Pray. Pray. Pray for God's deliverance, for His protection. Pray for His blessing. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for loving us so much. We thank You for being our Father. And we thank You, Father, for making Your power available to us as we come to You in prayer, seeking Your blessings, Your protection, Your deliverance from this virus that is sweeping around the world, that is affecting so many in our own nation and even in our own community. We thank You, Father, for Your power to take care of this, to deliver us from it, and to protect us from it at this time. And we pray, Father, for Your deliverance, for Your protection, for health and safety and well-being. We pray for healing for those who may be sick from this virus or from any other contagion or reason. We pray for comfort for the families who have lost loved ones. And Father, we pray that You will help us to be strong in our faith in You. And we pray that You will help people to open their eyes and their hearts to see that they need to lean upon You and that they need to change their life and to walk with You forever from this day forward. Guide them to Your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom, as they are repenting of their sins and confessing their faith in Him, they can be forgiven as they are baptized into Him for the remission of their sins, raised up to walk in newness of life, reborn spiritually, saved, and they can be assured of a home in heaven with You when this life is over. Please forgive us, Father, and please hear our prayer. In Christ's name, amen. At this time, we encourage you to, with your family and your home, partake of the Lord's Supper. Give thanks to God for the bread which represents Christ's broken body on that cross, and for the fruit of the vine which represents His blood shed on that cross as He gave His life, paid the price so that you could be forgiven. Please take advantage of this time. And anyone who, again, would like to drop their contributions off at the building or mail them in, as you're able and willing, we're glad to be able to still do God's work. And we're glad to be able to use those funds. To God be the glory in our lives.